Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs postgame show presented by PointsBet. Use the promo code CHGO for two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Kevin Wells, Cody Delmendo, Ryan Herrera tonight. I'm in for Luke Stuckmeyer because he's vacationing in one of my favorite places, Door County, Wisconsin. I love it up there. It only took two extra innings to beat the worst team in baseball tonight, guys. Cubs even up the series out east, 7-5. They beat the Nationals. Patrick Wisdom plays hero, but again, I think the big story tonight has to be Justin Steele, right? I mean, man, another amazing start from a guy who's just been nails since the All-Star break.
Well, once again, I would never vacation in Wisconsin, guys. I'm sorry. Like, I just can't.
Have you ever been to Door County, though?
I haven't.
Oh,
I hear it's nice.
More like,
and my friend,
Dork,
my good, friend Jake Bunowski, who's been on the show, he's getting married there this weekend. Congratulations to him. Never met his future wife, but I'm sure she's nice, like he is. But again, never vacationing in Wisconsin. I only go there for New Glarus, and to help pay the electricity bill where the Brewers play, and perhaps go to Madison sometimes.
There you Fair go. Enough.
You ever been to Door County?
I've never been. Well, where's Door County? Maybe.
All the way up in, like, the upper right-hand part of the state. Like, it jets out into the...
Northern Wisconsin is dope.
Northern
Wisconsin is dope.
I don't know.
If you love it so much, why don't you marry it, Joey?
I didn't even say I loved it. I just said it was dope.
I didn't say it wasn't nice. I said it is nice. But will I vacation there? Would I take PTO time to go to Wisconsin? No. Sorry.
Fair enough. Well, Luke, we hope you're having a good time up there. I hope you're having fun. I like Door County. Guys, tonight let's talk a little bit about.
I'm sorry, the show's already off the rails because that game was so weird.
I felt so content watching it, though. I felt so content watching Justin Steele over the last couple of weeks. I feel like I can tune in and out of the game when he pitches because he's just so locked in, and I just feel like every start he's had the last 2 months has just been. We know what we're going to get out of him now. It's 5-6 strong innings, maybe a couple mistakes here and there, but. Keeps the ball in the ballpark, everything. I mean, it's just, what more can we want from a guy like Justin? He's come on so strong this year.
He's really been great since June 1st. June 1st is really, he's been on a hell of a run. Yeah, there's been some hiccups in there. A lot of the hiccups, honestly, have been on the defense. Tonight, the defense showed up for him for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Bullpen was the reason he didn't get a win tonight. But, yeah, I mean... You want to sit here and talk about the future? You want to talk about if this team can compete for the NL Central Division title next year? I don't know. I'm thinking up a lot about football these days because all I want to do is gamble on the NFL. But that's why I did that. But, you know, you want to talk about competing for the NL Central title next season? Justin Steele makes me feel a type of way. That makes me think that it's actually possible. And some people think that this team is nowhere close to even doing that. And I don't get it because Justin Steele, it's like every time out, every fifth day, even on days he doesn't have his best stuff, he's been figuring out how to get you innings.
Yeah.
And we've used that as a way to kind of compare him to John Lester in a way. And I think tonight, I don't care if it's the Nationals. Like,
yeah, neither do I. Still a great start.
You need your guys to perform, whether it's against, you know, the Dodgers or whether it's the worst team in baseball. The guy went out there and got it done tonight, and it's fun to watch, and I'm so happy for him because the beginning of the year it was definitely very rocky to start, and he's really coming to his own, and yeah, I'm just excited to see how the rest of the season goes, but. You can't tell me that he's not part of the rotation in 2023 at this point.
No, he's very clearly locked it down. Just some numbers over his last, this would be now 8 starts. So starting with start against Cincinnati, June 29th. It's over 8 starts. He has in that stretch, a 1.67 ERA, 1.30 WHIP. I mean, how many strikeouts did he have today? I don't think it was
5 today.
Five strikeouts, so not quite up to the, you know, the 10 and the 9 that he had his last two starts. Obviously, it was 19 strikeouts, one walk in those last two starts. But still missing bats, still, you know, not giving up a ton of hard contact, and still just like, I mean, this is 6 innings. I think you wish or you're looking forward to him being able to get seven innings here and there. But six innings is like, if he can give you six innings every night, like that's what you want to see out of Justin Steele, especially, you know, he's over his career high in innings pitched, or at least nearing it. I'm pretty sure he's over it by now. Career high, like going back even minor leagues in innings pitched in a season. So he's already surpassed that, and he's still going. He's still getting, you know, grinding through starts, even when a little bit of traffic hits out there. Still getting through that. Six innings today. I mean, yeah, Justin has been on a really good run. I mean, even in the beginning of the season, I think you can look at some you know, the lockout and the shortened spring training coming off of his rookie season, his first season in the big league. I think you can kind of look at that a little bit as obviously it didn't help him. But now that he's just had a lot of run, I mean, he's, you know, knock on wood, stayed healthy, just had a lot of run in that rotation, has been, I think, as far as, like, guys that have stayed healthy this year, that have pitched well for the most part, just been the most consistent. I mean, Drew Smyly was that for a little while until he missed a month. So I think Justin Steele is, like, starting to become one of those guys where you look at it and you're like, all right, the Cubs are going to be in this game because he's just not going out. He's not getting rocked very often. He'll have a couple of hiccup starts. He'll have some of those starts where he just doesn't last as long because, again, often he has an inning where he just has to work hard, throw a lot of pitches. But today was just one of those starts where he kind of cruised for a while. Like, he had a good start.
The sixth inning was probably the inning he struggled the most. Gave up the run, but then he got that strikeout to end it, and he was pumped coming off the mound.
Very pumped up.
I understood why, because he missed bad. I think that count ended up going to 3-2. I could be wrong about that, but it was it was a long one. And
yeah, a couple of those pitches missed outside pretty badly. Right.
Right.
And you don't want to walk a guy there because then you risk getting pulled and losing the quality start.
And but he got the strikeout, and he's pumped up coming off the mound knowing quality start, one run, five strikeouts, two walks. Like it's things like that that show his growth from April to now and make you – believe in him going into 2023.
I think we talked about what the rotation can be next year yesterday, and it was more specifically about Kyle Hendricks, but I think we kind of threw in Justin Steele in that, and no one, you know, there's no disagreement on that. I think he's earned his spot in the rotation next year. You obviously want to see him end this season on a good note, end it healthy. Going into spring training 2023, going into opening day 2023, there's no reason that Justin Steele shouldn't be one of those five guys that you know Ross has planned for his rotation that's going to end up getting the ball in one of those first five games. Like he's proven he's got what it takes to, you know, to be a major league pitcher. I think he's still working his way towards that. A good mm-hmm. solid major league pitcher. I think he's still kind of working his way towards that, but he's shown us so many things this year that he has that ability, and I think you can just trust that going into next year, you know, he's going to put the work in over the offseason to try to take an even bigger step next year.
Right, maybe develop another pitch or something.
Develop another pitch.
Right now it's very fastball heavy from him, like a lot of off-speed stuff too, like with the curveball slider action, but a lot of fastball heavy. But you're right, you feel confident about him next year adding to what he's done. It feels so comfortable when I'm watching a game now. I feel like I haven't felt this way about a Cubs pitcher since that era, the John Lester, Jake Arrieta, Kyle Hendricks rotation, that staple. Every time they went out there, you just felt like, you know, okay, there's a chance to win this game. Justin Steele, these last 2 months, he goes out there. Like, I missed the first inning. I was listening to it on the radio on the way in here. Mm-hmm. You know, but I was in no rush, really, to get in and watch him. Like, I just have a feeling it's going to be, you know, Justin's going to give us six strong innings tonight. He does that. I'm looking at some of his numbers just home run-wise. Marquis put up a graphic today. So he's still top three in barrel percentage for this season. One home run given up in August, only two starts. Only one home run given up in the month of July, that was five starts. Three home runs given up in June, one, two, three, four, five, six starts there. May, only one home run given up, and April, only one home run given up. I mean, it's pretty incredible stuff. He's not letting the ball fly out of the ballpark.
No, and that's one of the things. Is like I had the stat pulled up earlier, and I already lost it, and I'm pissed about that. But he had like a top 10 like home runs per nine innings rate. Like it was It was well under one home run per nine innings. Like, he had – it was in the top 10 of, like, qualified pitches. Like, he – it was something along those lines, I think. I might be just completely misremembering. But it was he you know, he doesn't give up a ton of hard contact. I put the stat up earlier pregame from StatCast. Obviously, StatCast hasn't updated at this point. But coming into today, among pitchers with at least 100 innings pitched per Fangraphs, but it's Fangraphs, you know, pull StatCast stats – Steele had the fourth lowest fly ball percentage at 27.4%, 10th highest ground ball percentage, 50.7%, second lowest barrel percentage, 3.7%, and 7th lowest average exit velocity at 86.8 miles per hour. Like, he's just not giving up a lot of hard contact. Mm-hmm. He's not, giving up. They're not putting the ball in the air against him too much. He's keeping a lot of things on the ground, which if he had an even, a better infield defense around him, would look even better. Because, you kind of see, like, I remember going into the season, kind of talked about with Justin, but, like, obviously Stroman and Hendricks as, like, a lot, Miley even as starters that had a really high ground ball rates, which is, like, is the defense going to be good enough to live up to that?
Right.
And it didn't for a while. But Steele, just as a guy that keeps the ball on the ground, doesn't give up, again, too many fly balls, too much hard contact, too many barrels, like, that's – those are all recipes for a successful pitcher, and if he can keep that going the rest of the year into next year, like those are all good signs for him as far as being a good major league pitcher.
To answer some of the comments, yes, that's Sean and Herb yelling.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I think the White Sox just took the lead.
Corey's there's a Corey. It's not Corey Freeman, our friend, but there's a guy named Corey here in the chat too. He says, "I'd feel a lot better about the win if the Nationals weren't fielding a minor league team," and I don't know if he's talking about just the game in general or if he's talking about Justin Steele, but again, it doesn't, to me, it just simply doesn't matter. I don't care that it's the Nationals. It's just much needed experience for a lot of these young guys. And it's not like Steele went up against like all minor leaguers out there. I mean, Nelson Cruz, in my opinion, is going to be in the Hall of Fame one day.
One of the best pure hitters of our generation. Yeah.
Right. And, again, I get it. Like, they're not playing a good team. The Nationals make me feel good about the Cubs and their future, especially the immediate future, because, like, the Nationals, it's like, unless, a lot of those guys they got back from the Juan Soto trade are able to contribute right away here soon, like, as next year, and they actually do some things in the offseason, like, which I don't think they will because they're a rebuilding team. If there's any solace we can all here in the chat can take is that the Cubs they do seem like they're in a better spot than the Nationals at least in terms of competing.
Yeah. So also, I think you're like all these guys are major leaguers. All these guys get paid to play baseball.
Absolutely.
And you can only go out and shove against the guys that are put in front of you. And that's what Justin did tonight. Like absolutely. He went out, shoved for six innings, kept them off the board. For the most part,
I think I saw it at the All-Star break. The Cubs have the second or third easiest schedule the rest of the way. And two of the teams above them, I believe, are the White Sox and the Cardinals. Two of those three teams are, they're playing easy schedules and they're gonna benefit that. They're not gonna complain about that. Like
no.
Who cares
it's the way it shakes
about
out.
It's your schedule. You play your schedule. Who cares? I could understand maybe a little bit if the team was underperforming like the White Sox have all season. And you're only performing against bad teams and not performing against good teams, then I could understand the frustration. But, like, where we are at this point in this year, all we care about at this point, or all we should care about, is development of guys like Seiya Suzuki, Nico Horner, mm-hmm. Christopher Morel, Nelson Velazquez, Justin Steele, Keegan Thompson. The list goes on and on. There actually is a long list of players. Yeah. Brandon Hughes, he was great again tonight. There's a lot to watch despite what the record is, man.
Yeah, another one of those guys has to be.
Whose line is it anyway? That's what was the joke I screwed up earlier?
Where
the rules are made up and the points don't matter. Like, it's just you want to see these guys go out there and do well. You really do. They're not, I think we're still on that march to 63, like making sure they don't lose 100 win or lose 100 games like that.
15 away.
That could kind of be seen as, like, an accomplishment at this point, like, just making sure you avoid that because losing 100 games in any season is really bad and kind of tells you that you're not really where you want to be in a season. So that's one thing. But just, like, the most important thing, like you said, Cody, is just seeing these guys develop, these guys that you want to be contributors on your next, you know, the next great Cubs team. You want to see Justin and Keegan have good ends to the season. Morel keep kind of looking as good as he has. Nico obviously playing at a high level like he has all year. Madrigal, now that he's healthy, coming back, having a good last, was it 7 weeks now, 6 weeks now, whatever is left in the season. You know, all those guys that are young that are going to be around for at least the next couple of years, most likely. Like, those are just guys you want to see do well and play well. And, you know, it's not all going to translate into wins because the team overall is just not built to win. Right. But if those guys are doing well and doing the things you want to see out of them, like, that's the biggest positive you're going to take from the rest of the season is that.
Yeah, my guy, Lil Yumper, here in the chat, he says, I don't understand why Ross keeps pitch hitting for Morel. In recent games, yeah, I get where he's coming from. But tonight I actually was okay that they pinch hit for Morel because he just did not look good in his few at-bats.
You were okay with it.
I mean, I had him as, for far, who as far as who you got, I get it. But, like, I don't know. Like, he looked pretty bad in those at-bats. And, like, I don't – like, sometimes if it's that bad, then, like, I don't mind pinch hitting for a guy, especially if they're young. You don't want them to lose their confidence and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, I didn't mind it tonight, but I get it. You want to see him get the at-bats, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, I don't want them to do it consistently, but tonight I didn't mind it. I don't know what it is. He's going through that adjustment period again. Like, the league is caught up to him. The last time it happened, he figured it out. So, yeah, you got to get him the at-bats, and hopefully he can readjust before the end of the year here. Yeah. And you know, finish the season strong, because obviously it feels like he has a bright future here and as at least some sort of utility player. And he has a lot of, you know, fiery personality and, you know, is fun to watch. So just got to figure it out.
I also think that we kind of forget about the thing. And you know, Ross has talked about this previously, you know, in media sessions and press conferences and stuff, that, you know, his job is obviously to win games. Like, the development is supposed to come in the minor leagues. The front office is the one going out and getting players and doing scouting stuff. His job is to take what's in front of him and win a game. Like, that's, I think we lose sight of the fact that that's what David Ross is supposed to do, is just put his team in the best position to win a game. And that may come at the cost sometimes of you know, letting Christopher Morel just try to work through some things. And whether that's, like, he, you know, the Marcus Stroman thing yesterday. Should he have let Stroman go one more batter deeper? Yeah, probably. He admitted so after, and that, you know, that being accountable is obviously a good thing, or a thing you want to see or want to hear after that. But I think we lose sight of the fact that some of the decisions he does make is in the name of trying to win that ball game. Like,
yeah.
Again, we want to see these guys do well. We want to see these guys work through things and just figure out how to play well at the major league level. But then you also think of just the managers trying to go out there and win a game, and you know, Ortega's base running mistake wasn't good.
That would be the, like, only way that Morel pinch hit is maybe hurts you tonight. Other than that, it's just accountability.
I mean, yeah, so
the running into the out is the only
again,
problem.
So if it's just if you can question the moves if you want, or you can wish that he left Morel in there just to try to, you know, have a better at bat after the first couple. You can definitely feel that way. Like, obviously, you're entitled to your opinion, but I think you also got to keep in the fact it's like it's a righty against righty. Ortega hits righties decently well. He's trying to win a ball game. I think it was 4-1 at that point, maybe trying to put an insurance run out there. I understand why he made the move. Maybe I don't agree with it, but I understand, like, why that's the move he decided to make in that situation, because I understand he's trying to win a ball game, and that's what it comes down to for him.
You know, I don't want to say I've been, like, a stan of Rafael Ortega, because I'm definitely not. But I understand why Ortega has remained on this roster while so many people have been clamoring for him to be let go.
The chat's
I was going to say, has anybody really been a Rafael Ortega stan?
Listen, at one point, he was playing better than Christian Yelich, man. Like, he really was. He really was, and I thought that he would have been a nice piece they could have flipped. And you know what? They didn't. So now I don't want him because he's blocking other players, and that's what bothers me the most about him. And then tonight he has another bad base running error. Like it's like if it's
that was
every
a really
other night.
Bad base
it was really bad,
it was
man.
Very bad.
Like You absolutely can't have that in extra innings like that.
No.
And the thing that bothers me the most about it is that it's not even that, like, he's a rookie. Like, he's 30, 31 years old. Like, he's a seasoned vet. He's got to know better than that.
You're already in scoring position, man.
Right.
And it's a ball hit to left field. It wasn't even it was probably 20, 25 feet shy of the warning track. I mean, that's an easy throw for any left fielder to make. Just a very bad mistake, and that ended up leading to another inning in there to going to the 11th instead of potentially ending it in the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I'm with you.
I'm just like – he's had some nice moments. He had a really nice second half last year, and he's had nice moments this year from May to like the, you know, to mid July. He was really solid, and I thought that was enough value for him to maybe just get something. Like I don't even care what
nobody
it would have been.
Him, though. He, you know, that's the thing. Nobody, there was probably no offers on the table for Rafael Ortega.
Yeah, and that is what it is now. But again, the Cubs are now in this position where they have to, you know, do it. You know, you say that, but the Cubs still managed to trade Dixon Machado to the Giants. So
you're not wrong.
There had to be someone out there that wanted Rafael Ortega. There just had to be, man. Had to be.
Can you scroll up on the chat a little bit, Joey? There was one comment in there. David Snyder says, Reyes looks like the real find. Him and Wisdom supply Cubs with much-needed thunder in the lineup, getting out – hit by the Nats, our hitters should be doing better than that. Ortega is just about useless. I don't want to say useless. That's too harsh. But, no, that was the other guy we wanted to talk about, and this was, man, Reyes is – that dude tonight, that home run that he hit to right center, it was hilarious because I remember you guys were I'm probably on the other side watching the Sox for a minute. I remember looking up at the screen, and the right fielder for the Nats, Joey Meneses, and then Victor Robles playing center field, both of them kind of turned their heads, took like two steps, and they're like – oh, wow, yeah, no, that ball's way the hell out of here. I mean, hit it like 110 miles an hour off the bat, 107 off the bat.
Yeah.
This guy.
Some feet, yeah.
Cubs only paying him $1.5 million, Ryan. I think we were talking about
Something like that, end this year.
Hey, you find yourself the DH of the future, plug and play, baby. That's a, yeah. Man, he looks awesome. Six-game hitting streak, too.
Yeah, and what do we say? He has two years of arbitration after this season, mm-hmm. So like they – you know, if he keeps kind of playing like this going into the end of the season, maybe that's a guy that that probably is a guy they decide to tender a contract. I mean, if he doesn't, then they can cut ties with him, and then that's that.
Then we will sit here and yell, especially if he plays like this the rest of the season, Ryan.
Put that up, Joey.
Yeah, I was doing this the other day when we were talking about best baseball movies.
Just because he is...
He literally looks like he is a man amongst boys. He's 6'5", 265.
Yeah, he's gigantic. I remember when I first walked into the clubhouse and saw him, and I'm like, you know, I'm like looking up at him. I'm like, oh, okay. No, he's a big dude, and he has so much power in that, and you know he has 30 plus home run power. He's had that in previous seasons. I'm kind of looking into a little bit of the deeper numbers and maybe trying to figure out kind of. Maybe it's hard to pinpoint that kind of thing just based on like fan graphs or Statcast, whatever. But he has that kind of power. And I know I tweeted this out earlier, but David Ross last week kind of talked about, you know, so Framil Reyes's pull coming into, you know, when the Cubs claimed him before he kind of played his first game, his pull rate was as high as it's ever been in his career. Like he had been a guy that was able to spray the ball all across the field. You know, obviously pulling a little more just because that's kind of how natural hitters do. But he just he was pulling the ball more this season than he had at any sort of point in his career. Since he got to the Cubs, that he's starting to hit the ball opposite field a lot more. You know, I tweeted that out, a couple of pictures. He had 14 balls in play coming into, you know, tonight. 14 balls in play. Let me see if I can find it. I'm going to say it was like 1, 2, 3, 4, probably about like six or seven that you could look at and be like, those are pulled balls, while another 5 to 6 were all oppo. And then tonight, 3 more oppo. It was the home run, a single, and then obviously the line out. So was it the warning track, I want to say, or at least close to it. So those are base. Those are up, you know, center, right center-ish, like a couple, you know, maybe you can probably consider those opposite field. But David Ross said that's who he is at his best, is a guy that in all fields, gap to gap kind of hitter, that obviously can hit the ball out of the ballpark too. And you're starting to see that a little more. Again, it's a small sample. I want to say it's 8 games now. But you're starting to see that, or you're seeing that right now as a guy that's just kind of spraying the ball all over the place. And if he can kind of continue that, then you're looking at a guy that's like, yeah, maybe is your DH for the year. I know there really hasn't been like a traditional DH or a everyday DH that the Cubs have had all season because, you know, Ortega's been in that spot a little bit. Contreras has taken over. Yan Gomes is kind of switching it out with him. Just different guys have kind of taken that on. Maybe he's a guy that you could put out there at DH more often than not next year if he –
He played a little outfield, right, with Cleveland?
He does, but I
– So, but the Cubs have so many outfielders.
They have so many outfielders, and it's kind of you're probably looking at him as more of an everyday DH than anything. But, yeah, that's – I mean, he's looking like the hitter kind of David Ross described, and the numbers back that up. So if that's who he is now or if that's who, you know, you can keep that kind of going. Like, that's very – good, obviously a very good pickup from the Cubs front office. You got to give credit where credit's due, Cody. Like that's a decent pickup there.
You know, I haven't seen Michael Collada in the comments, and he, you know, I know how much he hates Jed. He should be in the comments, you know, giving Jed some props. I know it's only been a week, so I'm not jumping too far ahead, but it is off to a really nice start. I'm sorry if this pains you, Michael.
Mike Dubs in the chat. Thank you, Cleveland, for giving us a World Series and DFAing Franmil Reyes. Nice comment,
Mike. Oh, yeah,
my
guy Mike Dubs. I also a lot of people in the chat are also bringing up Clint Jackson Frazier is asking if his time is probably done with the Cubs because they got a guy like Franmil, and I just don't know. I'm still, you know, as you guys know, and I'm not going to bring up the reason why, but you know I'm a never forgive, never forget person, and, like, I have not forgotten that Frazier never really got a chance with the Cubs, and the way that went down still pisses me off when they kept guys like Jonathan Villar and Andrelton Simmons on this roster, who are now not on the roster, and they probably could have got a longer look at him. I don't know.
You just have to wonder what happened.
Just
there,
very,
you know?
Just very, yeah. Like.
You also think Jackson Frazier wasn't playing shortstop or second base either.
Either way, true. They could.
It's hard. True. It's hard to be like Jonathan Villar and Simmons should have gone in their place. Oh, well, they had a few more outfielders. They didn't have too much infield depth.
They
at
needed
all.
The offense, man, and you know it.
I'm just saying that if there was as much as we kind of talk about how does this team have a roster crunch, there were a lot more outfielders that could have, I mean, that were there ready to play, I guess, versus, like, yeah, I mean, eventually some of these guys got healthy, a couple more, you know, Morel came up, and now he's a guy that could play all over the infield, so if Madrigal never really gets hurt or Morel comes up earlier, like, yeah, you're probably DFAing Simmons and VR a little bit earlier than what they
either
did.
Either way, the point is
I get
that
what you're saying, though.
Frazier never really got a shot. I don't know if his time is done. All I know is that, you know, the Cubs are going to be calling up some guys here in September, I think, and I don't know if he's even going to be one of them. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. I won't be upset if they don't, because they have so much young talent that they can – that they're going to be giving opportunities to, or that they should be, that, like, if he, you know, goes on to another team next year, then fine, I'll be rooting for him because, the Cubs in my – just never really gave him a chance, but – mm-hmm. Is what it is. But again, it's been 1 week for Franmil, so if, you know, if he starts to struggle, I mean, I'm sure people in the chat will be like calling for his head if he goes on a nice 0 for 20 here in the next week or two or something, and thinking that he's not part of next year's team, and like it's just how quick it can go sometimes. But right now he's playing well.
I mean, he's clearly not in high demand. He cleared waivers when they DFA'd him, so it just seems to be like, with the crowded outfield and
No, the Cubs claimed him off waivers.
Okay, they claimed
him
off.
They did claim him off waivers.
You're right. You're right.
I don't think he would have cleared everyone. I think there was something still there.
You're right.
Like,
you're right. The whole, but either way, the crowded outfield and things like that. I just think that the Cubs needed one thing in particular, and they needed power, and that's what I'm really liking about Franmil Reyes right now. You know, I'm on board. I'm on board for the signing. I'm on board for it.
It brings a power, man, which is this team has really missed all season, outside of Wisdom. Like, and then Contreras and Hap have brought some power, but like not the type of power that
right
Franmil has brought. Like, He had some moonshots, like no doubters.
Yeah, and they need it. I'm a big fan of the signing. Maybe could be a little bit of a thanks, a tip of the cap to Carter Hawkins too. Just knowing the organization, never know.
Yeah.
Cubs win 7-5 tonight over the Washington Nationals. They take game two of that series. Justin Steele, 6 strong innings, 5 strikeouts for him tonight. He looked great. We talked about him a little bit earlier. If you want to go back and listen to that, but. Yeah, overall tonight, it just felt like a very smooth operation. I don't know. I know it went to extra innings. I know the bullpen, trading away your bullpen at the deadline, you're going to get a lot of games like this towards the end of the season. You're going to get games. You know, Rowan Wick overall the last couple of weeks has been strong, you know, giving up 4 hits tonight. That's the most hits he's given up in over a month. And, you know, but they were able to rebound. And Brandon Hughes, another positive point too. So,
yeah,
glad they were able to solidify it.
Well, the Cubs win. Cody won, too. Oh, Cody, what did you win?
I keep on winning hit parlays. And if you're not tuned in to CHGO Bets Daily, then, like, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, Jack R. was in the chat being you need to be in Cody's hit parlays.
Hit parlay.
They're hitting. What are they? What's
that sound? The Cubs same game hit parlay is now 2-0 in its last two. And the MLB hit parlay is still alive. I'm still waiting for J.P. Crawford to get a hit.
It's not gambling when you know you're going to win.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love gambling when I win. It's the easiest thing in the world. I love to do it on PointsBet, guys. PointsBet Sportsbook is counting down the days until the football season, as am I. And with a new offer every day until the season kicks off, from now until September 8th, PointsBet Power Hour will unlock a new daily offer from 12 to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. I tried to do the times yesterday, but Central Standard Time, 12
brutal.
To 1.
It was brutal.
Yeah. Sign up for PointsBet now using code CHGO to also get risk-free bets up to $2,000. Don't miss out on your chance to get daily access to free bets, boosted odds, and so much more now through September 8th, but that's not it. If you make a 51 or more first-time deposit, you will receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you even get a free shirt of your choice from a CHGO locker. Download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO to take advantage of this limited time offer. Don't just bet, live your bet life with PointsBet. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services. And yes, it really is $51 or more first time deposit.
You're going to bet on the Bears Seahawks on Thursday? A little preseason bets?
I bet on them on Saturday, and it was brutal because I took the Chiefs because, like, it's the Bears, and I know it's preseason, but, like, they didn't play any of their main starters outside of Justin Fields and Darnell Mooney, and the Chiefs, what, they led at half by 2 touchdowns?
It was 14-0
at
half,
yeah. And then the Bears turned into the Super Bowl Bears in the second half of a preseason game, and it's a brutal beat.
Super Bears, Super Bowl. Well, guess what I'm using? I'm using Athletic Greens since I started hopping on these shows about a month ago, and I heard about it when I did this live read the last time. I didn't have the time. But I wanted better gut health, and I wanted more energy, and I wanted an optimized immune system. So guess what? I got on the Athletic Green train. I've been on it for about a month now. I love it. It doesn't taste super healthy. It's got this tropical taste to it, and I put it in my water every morning. Love it. So what is this stuff? It's a scoop of AG1. You're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food, sourced superfoods, probiotics, adaptogens to help start your day right. The special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, energy, recovery, focus, aging, all of the things. Get a noticeable boost of energy every day. Have it right now. God, it's 10:30 at night and I'm still wide awake. So I take first thing in the morning on an empty stomach, giddy up at a friendly lifestyle. Whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, gluten-free, or dairy-free, you're all good with AG1. You're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance for less than $3 a day. Now, it is recommended by professional athletes and has more than 7,000 five-star reviews. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. Just one scoop in a cup in your water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills or supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do right now, visit athleticgreens.com/CHGO Cubs. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/CHGO Cubs to take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Ryan,
that's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is. But Ryan, didn't you say earlier that David Ross uses athletic greens?
I believe that there's maybe like some maybe in the kitchen they're making some stuff with athletic greens in the morning. Mm. I've seen it. I've seen it around Wrigley. No, it was actually in Bush, but that could be a thing, man.
I'm sure Tori DeVito enjoys that. Good.
Wow. All right.
I just went there. Sorry.
What a way to end it.
Spin zone. Can we talk about the McKinstry play? Because David Snyder just left a comment that reminded me of it. I'm still mad about how that play went down.
Yeah. Yeah. What was it? It was first and third.
Yes. First and third, no outs.
Yeah, in
extras,
right?
Yes.
First and third and extras. I don't remember who hit the ground ball. It was Ortega hit the ground ball to second. McKinstry goes, obviously running full steam. Whoever the second baseman is for the Nationals grabs it, and they both run into each other. He tags him, holds onto the ball. Fine. McKinstry's out. Doesn't get anyone out. Hap scores. All of a sudden, Hap goes back to third, and we're sitting there like, what is going on?
Right.
And why exactly? I mean, I'm still confused on what exactly, obviously what exactly McKinstry was supposed to do outside of just somehow stopping in his tracks, which is hard.
Right. It was a bang-bang play. Like, it wasn't like one of those where – McKinstry clearly saw that the ball was going to be right there and the fielder was going to be right there. They literally came at the same exact time, it looked like. So,
or even that he like moved out of his own way to kind of get in the guy, the fielder.
Right.
Like it was just straight on the baseline.
Right. And so like the rule or the call that the umpires made, Hap had to go back to third base after scoring, which would have given the Cubs a 5-4 lead. They eventually took a 5-4 lead anyway, but they could have had more runs perhaps. Who knows? But he goes back to third. Ortega's at first, and McKinstry's out. And, again, I'm bothered because what else?
He wouldn't have gone home with that ball. He would have tried to turn a double play.
Or just gone to first, whatever. And like, there was no reason that Hap shouldn't have scored there whenever, like – I just don't see how that call came together whenever, again, McKinstry, it wasn't like a purpose play. It was a bang-bang play that happened. McKinstry didn't run into a guy on purpose, in my opinion. I don't think anyone else thinks so either.
No, I don't think he did either, but I am reading the rule now. It's the fielder right-of-way rule. So fielders have a right to occupy the space. Obviously, we knew that. So here's what it's written, though, on MLB.com. Any member of the batting team interferes with the fielder's right of way to make the play on the batted ball, the batter shall be declared out. If any member of the batting team interferes with the fielder's right of way to field a thrown ball, the runner of whom the play is being made shall be ruled out. In both cases, the ball will be declared dead. All runners have to return to their last occupied base. So it was the right call on the field.
I guess. Okay.
Right.
I'm glad you were looking at the rule because for whatever reason, we decided not to look up the rule. Yeah. I don't know. It was
they need to fix that rule, in my opinion, because like that's
almost like it's like a common sense rule, right? He wasn't going to go home with that ball. There was one out. He was going to go to second.
It was a weird play. I mean, maybe he could have gone home. Like it was
maybe
that it would have been a bang bang play at
Momentum
home.
Was taking him. There.
I would think that he probably would have gone to try to turn the double play. I don't know. It was it was a weird play and. I don't think McKinstry did anything wrong, but if that's the way the rule's written, then that makes sense. I mean, again,
I still don't blame McKinstry for what happened.
No, it would have been him literally needing to stop from running full speed to just stop like that. That's
right.
Because that's when the guy, I mean, even in slow motion, it was still second baseman grabs ball, McKinstry hits him, and then that's what happened after that. It was a very weird situation.
If that game would have meant something and that would have happened, I would have been a lot more angry. I just want to let everyone know.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting play, and it's not something you see every day either. You don't see base path interference called often on the field, but I mean, if you're going to call it, it's going to be when McKinstry laid someone out.
I will say
he came up after that without a scratch on him.
He did truck him. The Bears may need to ask the Cubs to kind of borrow one of the players.
What did Sean call it? He goes, he used the hit stick in Madden.
He ran his ass over.
He definitely did run his ass over.
I don't remember what we had planned next, but I do have seen
that. Did you look at the rundown before we start?
No, but I have seen, and I'm going to change what we're doing. The new MLB prospect rankings are out right now.
From Pipeline?
From MLB Pipeline right
now.
Calling in audible.
Breaking news.
Let's do it.
New top 100 right here, right now. New York's Francisco Alvarez is number one. Was he someone that was like kind of rumored? Yeah, there was a guy that they wouldn't give up, right?
Yeah.
In any of those talks.
Us delusional Cubs fans thought maybe Contreras would get him.
As far as the top Cubs in the top 100 right now, let me get this loaded. Pete Crow Armstrong is all the way up to number 31. Brennan Davis is at number 51, so that's a drop for him. Obviously, it has a lot to do with the him injury, barely playing this year and then struggling when he wasn't. And Kevin Alcantara, number 91. So, like, three Cubs in the top 100. Christian Hernandez was in there before, right?
Yeah, I thought so.
I thought so, too. I don't know, but here's how the Cubs top 30 shakes out. I won't go through all 30, but kind of running them down right here. Pete Crow Armstrong at number one. Brennan Davis, number two. Alcantara, number three. Cade Horton. And at number four, first-round pick for the Cubs.
Hell yeah.
Jordan Wicks up to number five. Christian Hernandez right now number six. Ben Brown brought in he actually just followed Cody on Twitter.
He followed me on Twitter.
There you go. He just followed Cody. Brought in as the David Robertson trade. Yeah. Not even a couple – you know, just a couple weeks ago.
Shout out to him.
He's at number seven. Jackson Ferris, second-round pick this year, already up to number eight. Alexander Canario – was in the Chris Bryant trade,
yeah.
He's number nine. Owen Casey, number 10. He came in the Yu Darvish trade, if I'm not mistaken. James Triantos, number 11. Hayden Wesneski, number 12, was the starter they got from the Yankees for Scott Efros. And then you just kind of running out the rest of the top 15. DJ Herz, Caleb Killian, Moises Ballesteros, and then it goes down from there. But
Ballesteros, a catcher down in Myrtle Beach, I believe.
Yeah, right.
So where's Amaya?
Miguel Amaya is actually number 16, so he's right there. Okay. Ed Howard out at number 20, but again, you know, the hip injury hasn't played.
Either way, man, that's a
Cole Franklin was the guy we heard about a lot. He's at number 29. Wow. Ryan Jensen, I want to say he was number 29 before this.
Kevin Alcantara jumping into the top 100 for MLB, I think, is super exciting.
Yeah, Porter Hodge up to number 22.
He's been killing it. He also follows me on Twitter. Yeah, shout out.
What did you say Alcantara was? 91?
91 overall in the top 100. Yeah, that's great.
That is exciting.
He's been a fast riser, too.
Yeah, he has. But, you know, like, PCA's exploded this year. Like,
you know,
it's crazy.
He's been nuts.
You guys ever watched the show The League?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great show.
You know, every time they do the draft and Ruxin would, like, schedule, like, his like, bed session or whatever you want to call it with like the draft board after his draft. You know what I mean? Like he's like just like gazing, like stares at it for like hours afterwards because he loves it so much. That's what I'm going to do with the Cubs top 30 when I get home, when we're done with this, because the way he just read it to me, I am just, I am filled with joy.
This farm system
bangs, man. I'm
Cade Horton already being number four is
and
super
here's
exciting.
Here's a couple more. Matt Mervis checks in at number 21.
Ooh,
everyone's I'd be seeing everyone asking when Matt Mervis is gonna get called up.
Yeah.
I think you're holding your breath if you think it's gonna happen this year or hoping it's gonna happen this year. You can probably assuming a wait till 2023 for that. But then two more draft picks already in the top 30. Nazir Moulay checks in at number 23. He was that two-way guy drafted as a pitcher, but I think they're going to let him.
Yeah.
This is going to let him, you know, maybe.
I remember I tweeted a video out of him doing an interview with, like, Harold Reynolds and MLB Network, and his vibe was something that I can't wait to see it.
Did you guys see, I don't know what game he was playing in, but then he hit a home run and like, pimped it.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely pimped it. It was pretty cool. And
stared at the opposing dugout or whatever.
And then right behind him at number 24 is Christopher Paciola. I'm not exactly sure how to say it. Christopher Paciola, one of the three position players they drafted this season.
Three or four.
Back in June, three or four. So, there's two more draft picks right there. But a lot of these guys are guys we've heard about all year, but that maybe were under the radar beforehand. Luis Devers in at number 26.
Heard a lot of
those in there. Again, Porter Hodge is a guy that I think we've been hearing about more and more lately. Mervis, same thing. Daniel Palencia.
I'm also interested now to where MLB ranks the Cubs system.
I'm gonna see.
Yeah, is that in there too?
I'm gonna look.
I mean, it's got to be
top eight.
Yeah, I would say probably
if it's not top
seven, top six.
Yeah,
I don't see it here. I don't know how to. I will look and see if I can find it. But
well, here's my question then. Of all those guys that you listed, mainly like the top guys, Cade Horton, we heard Jed talk about as soon as they drafted him, you know, we think this is the best pitcher in college, the way he performed, and we think he's going to be a quick turnaround. Probably not next year, really not next year for him, but year after Cade Horton, maybe? Perhaps.
Maybe they see maybe him next like year how for they PCA? See Jordan Wicks.
Yeah,
I think Jordan exactly. Wicks cool, could be with the Cubs next year. Like,
what about PCA? You think he can maybe next season?
He would have to take an insane jump at Double A. He was at Myrtle Beach and then he went to Single A.
Just saying, we've seen so many promotions from Double A that's what makes you think that maybe he might.
It would just really depend on how well he plays at Double A and if the Cubs are competing in the second half. Like, yeah. I would be interested to see what they would do, but
I think
I would lean more 2024 for PCA, but, okay. You know.
I think we kind of skipped over the Caleb Killian down to number 14 drop. I think he was number 6 preseason, maybe even number 5.
Yeah.
So a drop, I don't know if that has more to do with the guys that have really picked it up, some of the draft picks getting thrown in there, and a couple of guys that they traded for as well. Or, I mean, he struggled, obviously, in the majors when he was up here. And had control issues and different things going down in AAA that affected him there for a while. So I think that just kind of reflects a little bit of everything. Whereas, like, when he hasn't kind of jumped out from the pack, a few other guys that have the potential or have already have kind of jumped him in the prospect rankings. I still think Caleb Killian is – I still can see him coming back up this season at some point. Same. I can still see him being a guy that, you know, you want to see get another chance at starting, even if it's not full-on rotation, at least spot starting, getting starts down the stretch. But that, you know, that is definitely a
could be like a consistency factor too. I just feel like those spot starts for young pitchers just coming up in those moments. I understand there's not a lot of pressure on this team this year because they're not very good, but I feel like coming up in the major leagues and not having a lot of experience already pitching there, at making your first start, you know, he pitched pretty good in his first start, but you know, going back down, coming back up, going back, like not having that consistent stretch of games, I feel like has to play a lot into a young pitcher's mind. But unfortunately, that's the grind. You got to go through that.
I think his route would have been a lot different if he just didn't have the command issues, which was something that, you know, we were told that wasn't supposed to be a problem for him. And it became a problem after the first start against St. Louis, right? And then it kind of continued down in Iowa a little bit. He's coming around a little bit. I don't know. I do think he might be someone we see, you know, in September.
Yeah.
I hope so.
You know, he's pitched pretty well the last couple outings in Iowa.
Yeah, in Iowa. He's turning around a little bit.
I don't know, like, if this is a possibility. The Cubs have so many starting pitchers because they didn't move Drew Smyly and they couldn't move Wade Miley because of his injury. Like, you think Killian's a guy that maybe they bring out of the bullpen as like long relief.
Could
role
be
or
too.
Something
they
like
need,
that.
Especially with guys like Steele and Keegan surpassing their career highs, like, you know, kind of in pushing innings. That.
Firmly cementing themselves into the rotation.
Yeah, there may be times where, you know, you kind of need a guy just, you know, you might just need to bump them back or throw a sixth guy in there just to make sure some of those innings are getting picked up by someone else. I could see it. I could definitely see it. I know we've talked about Wisniewski too. He's number 12, is potentially coming up in September. I think we got to wait and see, but I could see, I mean, there's definitely a good possibility they come up.
Those are the two guys.
One or both come up.
Those are the two guys I want to see the most in September because, like, if those guys, you know, can become quality pitchers, that really changes the outlook for next year's team, in my opinion. I mean, again, Wisniewski is a guy that they said that is MLB ready. Mm-hmm. And obviously Killian's already made his major league debut and we've seen the good and we've seen the bad. Like, you get those guys on whatever off-season program and with some experience from the last like month of this season and go into spring training next year with some sort of plan for them. And who knows? Like, I don't know. Like, right now, just because of the roster, it's hard to see like where they fit in, but I'm excited to see where they fit in, though.
There was a lot of guys in the chat earlier, right as we started, too, just when we were talking about how great Justin Steele was tonight, and he was great again. He's been great since the, you know, second half of the season. There are guys talking about, well, man, who are they going to go out? Can we maybe go get a guy like DeGrom? Can we maybe go get a guy like, what's his name on San Francisco? Why can't I think of his name?
Oh, Rodon.
Yeah, Rodon. You know, go get yourself a power top line starting pitcher to mix in with some of these young guys. I don't think that's out of the question. I really don't. I think the Cubs, the majority of their resources this offseason, I think will be spent on power. It's just been an underlying theme of every Jed Hoyer press conference over the last couple of months. But I don't think that's out of the question, going out and maybe trying to get yourself a good deal on a top-end starting rotation to mix in. You're still going to have Stroman next year. You still have Hendricks next year. But getting maybe one more guy to really round it out, having Smiley in there still, you know, you choose to take him, get him back, right?
He's a mutual option.
I don't know. I think it's possible. I really do. And then that paves the way, kind of leaves the door open for those young guys to kind of come up and make spot starts. Like, you know, guys like maybe Cade Horton the year after. I don't know. Don't sign a guy to a super long-term deal for a power pitcher in the front end, but leave some breathing room too. I don't know. There has to be a happy medium there, I think, for that.
Right now, Pipeline's projection is Cade Horton 2025.
Okay.
So there's that. Yeah. Also, you look at it, and so there's six position players in the top 10 of the Cubs system. Five of them are outfielders. are gonna have another outfield crunch.
Yeah.
I think it'll be one more fans are, like, accepting of having an outfielder crunch over the next few years. Obviously, they got Brennan Davis. That's, like, something next year. Maybe PCA and Alcantara 2024. And you just kind of see where the rest of these guys kind of fall.
And right now, you're looking at PCA and Alcantara and Davis being like your three. And that still doesn't stop me for not thinking Hap should hang around because you got that DH.
Well, so yeah, Suzuki's going to be around.
Saya's going to be there no matter what. Yeah,
right. So
he's that right fielder for sure.
It is going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. But again, Alcantara is in Myrtle Beach. He has been in Myrtle Beach all season. So I expect him to be in South Bend next year, and we'll see if they promote him to Double A or not. But I still think he is probably a 2024 at the earliest, along with PCA. So, you know, I think that thinking about, should we move Hap because those guys, or should we, you know, are we in on Saya even though he's on a 5-year contract? So clearly they are. Should we call one of those guys up early? No, like, I think you got to – You gotta treat those guys like gold down there, and make sure they're ready when they are. I'm different about Davis because he had such a great season last year, and was really coming to this year with momentum, and then the injury and blah blah blah. We all know. Next, like I said last night, Davis is someone that I'd love to see an early call up next year that can take over center field and play with. Happen, say.
Yeah, and then I think I mentioned it to you. I saw a tweet. I forgot who it was that the rookie or the Arizona Complex League season ends next Tuesday, something like that. So then, if he's not ready to go to AAA by then, which maybe he won't be, could go to one of the A levels, maybe South Bend or something. But it's also like with Brennan Davis, there's no point in rushing him back right now, and just trying to, you know. I know Jared Banner and everyone else in the front office have talked about taking it one day at a time with him. I agree, obviously. I don't see a point in trying to get him as many AAA at bats this season. Like if he goes to the Arizona Fall League, you know, then that helps him kind of get back some of this development. He has spring training, probably starts next season in AAA. And then even with a quick call, if it does happen, like he's starting the season in AAA, in my opinion. It's just not to the point where it's not worth trying to get him right back into AAA as soon as possible. Just make sure he's healthy. You got a month and a half left in the season. Make sure the guy's healthy. Make sure he can finish the season and go into the Arizona Fall League, go into the off season just in a good place, healthy, health-wise. Just make sure that's the number one priority for a guy like that, because that is your former number one prospect now. Right, that's one of the guys that you're kind of counting on coming up, especially coming up at some point next year. You're probably already considering him coming up this year if he played well and then didn't get injured. This is a guy that's probably going to be up at some point next year, assuming good play and assuming good health. So just right now, it's just I don't see the need for them to try to really rush him back into any of the, you know, Triple A games. No cups of coffee at the end of the season. Like, just let him get healthy. Let him just work his way back as at a good pace that makes sure he gets to, you know, October and beyond healthy.
Yeah. You mentioned former number one prospect. Is Braylon Marquez not in this top 30 either?
I don't think I saw him in here, actually.
Not surprised. No. But I'm just curious.
Just with the lack of hasn't played a game in
2 years.
Since, what, was it September 2020?
Yeah.
Right? Because I think, did he miss all of last season?
Yeah, he didn't pitch all of last year. I want to say he did.
Yeah. Then obviously hasn't pitched this year and isn't going to pitch again this year. Yeah, I mean, not a surprise.
Yeah.
Especially with, you know, the kind of the farm system getting better over the last calendar year, 18 months, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
The farm system's gotten better. You know, better arms have come into the system that are starting to show some things. I'm not surprised. It is disappointing because he was a highly regarded prospect in that system for a while. But, you know, that's just kind of when you're not pitching for so long and things just aren't going well for you, that, you know, these prospect rankings don't care.
Yeah,
these prospect rankings don't care about your feelings. Like, right. They're there to rank prospects that are healthy.
I know I said what I said earlier, but, like, you know, there's guys that aren't in the top 30 that might be in a top 30 in another team system. This farm system is deep, dude.
It's good.
I've heard a lot of people say, like, oh, the Cubs don't have like a Chris Bryant type prospect, like top tier, like,
right.
Like they are, but like still have a ton of talent.
They have a lot of depth. They have a lot of good depth. They don't have. Right
a lot
now,
of these guys won't play for the Cubs. A lot of these guys are going to be superstar type players. A lot of these guys are going to be traded for hopefully star
pieces.
Players.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
this
yeah.
is that that's what the buildup of this season was for. That's why they went out and traded a lot of these guys, signed a lot of these bullpen. They're good at this development type of thing, and when they are competing again, and when you know they're going to need a starter at the deadline. A lot of these guys are going to that's going to be what they're used for.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
That was a good. It's a good part or a little segment there, Ryan.
Yeah,
great audible.
I saw it on Twitter. I'm like, we need to talk about this.
That was
this
great.
It's right there.
After all that, do we want to bet on the Cubs to win the World Series next year?
No. Definitely don't bet on them this year.
But if you enjoy CHGO, one way to help us grow is to help download the PointsBet app and use CHGO when you sign up. Not only are you going to use two risk-free bets up to $2,000, but you make it a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership that unlocks all of our web content. You'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. If you have any questions, email pointsbet@allchgo.com, and we'll help you out. And in case you missed it, online sign-up is available in Illinois. You can actually download the PointsBet app right now. Register from your account from start to finish, all from your phone. You'll be signing up with the fastest sportsbook, easier than ever, so you can start living your bet life in seconds. What are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
So should we just go into a little bit of the injury updates we kind of got
today? Sure. We got a few minutes left,
injury updates and who you got.
Quick.
I think we
got
to talk. Injury updates.
Should we do who you got first?
We'll just do
that's
the
more
one.
Fun.
We'll do the one. Wade Miley, rehab in Iowa today. I think we saw that he had 5 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, 0 earned, 2 strikeouts, 1 walk. He's been rehabbing for a little while. He's gotten a few turns down there. Haven't got to talk to him in a sec, but at this point it's just a guy that you're kind of hoping can come back up and eat up innings just to get to the end of the season. Like, again, if he was healthy going into that trade deadline, he probably would have been a good trade chip because when he was healthy, he looked good.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, you know, the pace on the mound is great for us because the games go by usually quicker. But he was good when he pitched for the Cubs.
Have you ever had the chance to interview Wade Miley at all in a clubhouse setting before?
Yeah,
he's
great.
An awesome guy.
Yeah, he's a great quote, great talker. You know, fun just to kind of shoot the shit with, honestly.
Yeah, when I was interning up in Milwaukee, I got to talk with him a couple times during. I just seemed like every game I covered was a Brewers Reds game. It just seemed like probably covered 12 of them that summer. But Wade Miley pitched in a few of them. Just a like salt of the earth guy. I really, really enjoyed talking to him. So I am curious to hear what his thoughts are on next year. Maybe he wants to come back here.
Yeah,
maybe he's interested in doing another one-off deal or not.
Yeah,
because
maybe
the depth would be great.
Yeah, maybe he feels like, hey, he really didn't get the shot that he or health. You know, health didn't allow him to have the shot or to take advantage of the shot he was given.
Few appearances he had, like he was solid, right?
Oh, he was definitely a good pitcher when he was healthy. It just it's only been four games. He pitched all year, and I think at this point, it's like again when we go back to with Keegan and Steele kind of reaching past where they've been as far as innings goes, like. Just another guy they might just throw out there, especially if Hendricks doesn't pitch again this season, which I think we're kind of looking at it that it's not going to happen.
Tommy Hotovy kind of hinted at that, right?
Yeah, just a starter that, you know, he's just a guy that can go out there and start some games for him if he gets healthy enough.
Yeah. Hey, listen, like, I don't really know how to feel about Wade Miley in terms of should he be here next year. Like, get him real cheap because, like, you want to think about it, like, they paid him, like, $10 million this year. That's way too much for someone who made four starts. But, I mean, he made that kind of money because he's a good pitcher, though. When he's
coming off a career year.
Right. Yeah. So, you bring him back. If you decide to not bring back Drew Smyly, but you bring back Wade Miley instead, fine, whatever. I just don't – as long as you don't bring them both back. Because I just feel like they're just going to have too many arms. You
want the young guys to get opportunities.
You do want to see the young guys get opportunities. Like, this year is about, like, exploring what you already had. Next year is really about developing the young pieces that you have accumulated from the 2 year or the year and a half of rebuilding or whatever you want to call it. Jed doesn't want to call it that. But you know what I mean. Like, so I just don't want to take away opportunities from guys like a Caleb Killian or a Hayden Wisniewski. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're top – tier prospects for a reason.
All depends on how they see themselves as a team next year and what they do in the offseason.
And I know the amount of innings pitched is a thing too. Like, they don't want to make those guys throw however many innings, like 30 starts worth. Yeah. So I get it. I don't know. I just don't really know how to feel about it. Wade Miley's on my list of biggest disappointments of this season. And that is what it is. So,
Who you got tonight?
I got
robbed. I'm just going to say that.
No. Here we go. Kevin comes in late.
I showed up a half inning late. Either way, listening to it on the way here.
Either way, the lineup was out 3 hours before. BS. Me and Cody got our picks in prior to the game. Yep. Kevin didn't. He's even lucky we let him have a pick.
Absolutely.
But he got in after Justin Steele had already pitched. I think Velasquez was batting when he got in here. So the only one left that he could pick was Morel. I gave you the option. I mean, I guess I was going to say if Ian Happ hit a home run, I was going to be like, I gave you the option to pick Ian Happ.
What,
you want me to
text and drive? I wasn't supposed to – or Slack and drive, send my pick in while I'm driving.
Were you driving Chicago for 3 hours? Rush hour? Were you driving?
That's why
hours?
Cody uses the scooter.
Yeah, right.
So much sense.
You weren't taking a 3 hour road trip. That lineup was out long before.
I had enough of a 3 hour road trip with you last week.
Yeah, I was gonna say you guys weren't coming back from Dyersville.
We had a great time, but
it was a wonderful time.
So he had Morel. Was he 0-for-2 or something like that today?
Yeah, and then he got pinch hit for in the fifth or sixth inning. Yeah,
I think it was seventh.
So Kevin's out. Sorry, buddy.
So it's
wrap it up. You're out. quit moaning and complaining.
The rest is
you're out.
So Cody had Nico, 3-for-4 today, a walk, an RBI, and a run.
Yeah, that's your winner.
I had Reyes, 2-for-5 today, 2 runs, an RBI.
Reyes hit a homer.
Yeah, more total bases, more
congratulations
RBI.
Congratulations to Cody!
No, get the fuck out of here, man.
4 hits.
Take that, Stucky.
No, I won. Come on, dude. Are you kidding? He didn't have 4 hits. He had three.
Three hits
and a walk.
Three hits, walk. Four times on base time. Versus one home run.
Franmil Reyes had 5 total bases.
Ooh. Well, that's really just one home run
and
plus
two and one more RBI.
Okay, I will confer
but
with Stucky.
Now, Nico's almost a 4-war
and more
now.
And another run. He had one more run.
Ryan loves using the runs argument for who
he had
got.
Another
he
run.
Scored a run.
He had another run, an extra RBI, and an extra was it going like an extra another total base.
So come he on. Had more. No, he didn't have more RBIs than Horner. Yeah, he had two.
I'd say a point for each of you.
Okay, so that's same.
Yeah, no, they
same
had the same amount.
You want to give a point for each? Actually, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll be okay with that because then it breaks my tie with Stucky, and I just want
you guys both deserve a point for this.
I want him to be upset. I want Stucky to be upset.
He's going
to
be upset. I feel like you can't just come up with an impromptu rule and be like, actually, we both get a point tonight.
Oh, we've done that plenty of times.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, me and Luke have used this against
him. There was that day that you were on the road, like when I had just gotten back from St. Louis, and you like lagged out of the stream. And so me, Stucky, and Jared just gave each all three of us a point, and Cody didn't get anything.
That's what happened.
So that was
I was sweating so much that day.
You're feeling it.
So congrats to you both tonight. I was robbed. I wanted Justin Steele.
He did.
As I said earlier in the show, every time I sit down and watch Justin Steele, the last time I was on here, six innings strong. I know they lost the game to the Orioles, but it was still a nice, consistent outings is what we're getting from him. I can sit down, watch a game. I can go up and grab a beer or something, miss like a couple pitches, come back and know that the ball will not leave the ballpark. There won't be many guys on base. It's just a smooth sailing. And I don't know. That's why I wanted Justin Steele tonight, and I didn't get him. So otherwise, I still think Horner would have
just let us know earlier.
Yeah, should have got your pick.
It would have been close, honestly.
Steele gets him a win either.
Honestly,
way.
I would have been okay if all of us got a point if you actually would have been able to pick.
I know Corey, he's talked about it yesterday, how he didn't want Kevin to get a win today, so he's probably really happy right now. Or whenever he listens to this or watches this, he's going to be really happy that Kevin has not joined the exclusive club of of who you got winners.
Yeah, Corey started out, what, like 0-1? He didn't get a win.
So like last week?
Yeah, I mean, it took him forever to get one, so no wonder he didn't want me to win. I'm not surprised there.
So I lead 19-17-13-1-1.
I don't know. I still think I won, but I'll gladly split the points with you and give Stucky none.
You're four behind Stucky,
for sure.
Well, Cubs, they get a win tonight. 7-5 the final against the Washington Nationals. Drew Smyly gets the call tomorrow. Thanks for dropping in to check out the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by PointsBet. They will talk to you tomorrow. I will not be back. I don't know if Stucky is back tomorrow.
Actually, Corey. Yeah. Corey and Brendan will have their show
Corey
tomorrow,
and Brendan tomorrow.
So. No live post. Well, I don't think they're live. Are they live, Joey?
I don't know. I'll decide later.
We'll figure that out. Awesome.
We're not live tomorrow.
Great
we'll
talking
be back on Thursday, though.
Great talking with you guys.
Got
and
a special
remember,
surprise on Thursday,
Bob. Oh, yeah. Make sure you tune in Thursday.
Let the guy do his damn outro. All right? Enough.
So hard.
Sorry. There really is a surprise. There really is a surprise on Thursday, so make sure you're watching.
Well, thanks for dropping in. Fly that W, Cubs fans. We'll talk to you later.